Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to another week, another day, another show here at the Damage Report with me, Johnny Rolla, and Francesca. Wait a second. We've got an audible, if you will, at the last second. J.R. Jackson coming in. How's it going, J.R.?
I appreciate the vocabulary there, John. It's quite fitting, as a matter of fact, because you know what? The Bills should have called a couple of audibles on defense last night is what I think. Don't you, John?
I think we both think that. I think everyone is thinking that. I watched a little bit of that game, but I wasn't paying a ton of attention because I had my daughter with me. But anyway, yes, we're going to be talking about the Bills, about the Eagles. We're going to be talking about none of that. In fact, we're going to be talking about politics because there's a lot going on here inside of the United States, here in Congress, where they might be eating one of their members under the center of the sun. That'll be coming up soon. But he declares that he's not going anywhere. We've got more deep fakes being spread as if they were true of politicians. That's always fun. And if you're watching the live show in the aftermath, we will have the return of the Damage Report Court. So Justices Iderola and Jackson will be ruling on a little case involving parenting decisions. So as I warned you all a couple of weeks ago, more and more of the show is gradually going to become about parenting. And that is the case. So get ready. For that. I don't know why. It's probably a seasonal thing. It doesn't have anything to do with my life. But all of that is coming up. Conspiracy theories. Is it Nikki Haley's time to shine? We're going to debate that. So we got a lot to talk about. So all of you out there that are on a platform where this makes any sense, hit the like button. You can share the stream. If you're on the podcast, just raise the roof, maybe. It doesn't help us algorithmically, but it might feel good. Not if you're driving. Keep your hands on the wheel. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start this thing?
Roof is being raised. Hasn't happened since 1997, but we'll try it.
He's not even listening to the podcast and he's doing it. Anyway, let's jump into it.
One of the people who is commenting on it on Truth Social is the guy who is the head of, yeah. He wrote the art of the deal and he's not happy with the deal. And here's what he has to say. He says, has anybody noticed that Hamas has returned people from other countries, but so far has not returned one American hostage? I mean, I think a lot of people believe we probably would have American hostages out. And maybe this whole thing wouldn't have even happened had Donald Trump been in office.
First of all, a little fact check. He didn't write The Art of the Deal. His name's on the cover of The Art of the Deal, but he didn't write it. We've known that for literally decades. Second, and arguably more important, what in the hell are you talking about? If only Donald Trump were in office, we would have had American hostages released. We've had American hostages released. In the immediate aftermath, what you just saw there from Fox and Friends, another hostage was released, notably without Donald Trump having to become president. Isn't that weird? But just to wind it back a little bit, two American hostages, Judith Renan and her daughter Natalie, were released by Hamas back in October. So, we can't always respond to breaking news immediately, but I have a feeling Fox and Friends could have known about the developments of October. And on Sunday, Hamas went on to release 17 more hostages, including 4-year-old Avigail Adan, an American Israeli dual citizen as well. Now, there were a number of hostages released over the last few days. We're going to give you all of those updates. And I know that it's stupid to focus on this, JR, who's with me on the show. But like the need to make everything a thing about Donald Trump. If only Donald Trump were there, we'd have the situation that we already have that we're pretending we don't have. And there's no retraction coming. There's no like plaudits that are going to come to Joe Biden for the limited American role in these hostage negotiations. The good news remains, but their need to constantly fake that it isn't happening is just so annoying.
Did you know that nothing would have happened if Donald Trump was in office? Except a bunch of things happened when Donald Trump was in office. But if in case Donald Trump wasn't in office when COVID hit, it'd be like COVID would never hit if Donald Trump was in office, even though it did. You can even say that this conflict would not have happened if Donald Trump was in office. Ukraine would not have happened if Donald Trump was in office. Anything that happens bad in the world, you can claim it just wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump was in office with absolutely no reason for saying so. Just say it because his presence is peace. Sound a little bit like a cult to you? Maybe like it's a religion, like they're worshiping a guy, that his presence can change the effects of the world and things that are around us. That's their belief system. No matter what, it doesn't matter what you're talking about, Donald Trump would have fixed it. He said that in his speech. I alone can fix it. And they've believed it ever since. And as many people laughed at him and went, what is he talking about? This sounds like a dictator. That's exactly what he's talking like. And he wants people like this woman to believe this, spread that word, and continue to push this same narrative. If I'm there, none of it would have happened. Why?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense if you think about it. But dear viewers, have you considered not thinking about it or thinking about anything? Don't think. We'll just tell you some stuff. Some of it might be true. Some of it might not be. That's really a much more comfy way to live, don't you think? Just ignore the things that he didn't fix when he was president. Ignore it going forward if he gets back into office. And don't acknowledge the things that are getting better. But anyway, I'm going to set aside Fox and Friends. They're morons. Here is the update. And it's developing fast because there have been now 3 rounds of hostages being released, which is good news. It's expected that throughout the course of Monday, today, when we're filming this, 11 more hostages are expected to be released. That's good news. How many hostages are still being held by Hamas? You get different numbers from different sources. It is somewhere between 170 and 185 are still being held. But the breaking news right before we were going live was that leadership of Israel and Hamas have agreed to extend the temporary truce that they've had for an additional 2 days. And so the agreement prior to this had been that extensions of the truce were going to be accompanied with more hostages being transferred. So, you know, if they're sticking to that, and I assume that they would be, that means more, 10, 20, perhaps more hostages being transferred over the next couple of days. And that at the end of the day is the most important thing, that the hostages are being returned, that prisoners, we can get into the individual charges and everything on the Palestinian side, are being returned. I really question whether many of the women and children that are being held should be, but they are being transferred as well. And so that is good news. There's a lot of attempts to spin it, but you know, families are being made whole. And while that doesn't erase all the trauma, that is the important thing, at least from my point of view. JR, what do you think?
Yeah, there's and you know, there, we see the hierarchy of you know, the way that we like to see folks released in any kind of conflict. If anyone that's taken capture or missing overseas, that's an American, we know that. So also, I guess back a little bit on the complaints about, you know, how many Americans have been released. Yo, we're talking about folks, people. So if there's folks that are prisoners, that are held hostages, that are potentially being tortured, and families are not unable to really go on each day as they think about their family members. And then you hear someone just say, but are they American? Because if they're not American, I really don't care. How heartless. Mm-hmm. Again, how heartless. How much do you actually care about the people that have been held hostage since October 7th? And then once folks are then being released, you start scanning and checking whether or not what their citizenship is and whether or not that's good enough. It just keeps going no matter what. The main thing we continue to illustrate in our humanity is that it's all hierarchical. And it's a matter of whether or not it's close enough to us to be worth something. And if it's further and further from what we think is worthy, the less and less we think that life is worth anything.
By the way, I'm very glad that you mentioned that because, I allowed myself to be sucked into the ridiculous way that part of the spin that I was talking about is that they have to have that hierarchy. And look, part of it is that they honestly do value certain lives more than others. That's 100% true. But it's also another way to spin it where, lots of hostages are being transferred, but not the right hostages are being transferred, except that they are. You're lying about that. And what about when all of the American hostages are transferred? Well, then I guess there's no way for Biden to do anything good because the real hostages can't be transferred anymore. And by the way, it is, again, I'm so glad that you pointed out the hierarchy because Fox has been using this opportunity for the past month or two to pretend that they are not part of a wildly anti-Semitic political movement. But as JR's pointing out, they really don't seem to care about the Israeli hostages all that much. Suddenly it's only the American ones that count. And so weird how they snuck that in. But anyway, I see some people saying that they think that the extension was for longer. I'm just going based off of what I saw coming out of the Qatari mediators to the deal. Supposedly it's 2 more days. We'll see. It's possible. It's developing. A lot is happening today.
Mm-hmm. We have elite special operations forces who are specifically trained in hostage rescue. I do think we have to be deferential to the Israeli government and the Israeli defense forces about the tactical situation on the ground. But if American military forces are called upon and can provide a viable solution to get out American citizens and the citizens of Israel or other nations, then we have to be open to that. But again, it's not just those small special operations units that we have trained. We have two aircraft carriers in the region. We've increased the number of troops and aircraft we have in the region. Yet Hamas is still so contemptuous of President Biden that it hasn't yet released American hostages.
Again, that's a lie from Tom Cotton. American hostages have and continue to be released. But that also accelerated pretty fast there. Tom Cotton saying U.S. Special Forces could go in to rescue the hostages. This is not a compound that hostages are being held in. You send in SEAL Team 6, you storm the compound, and then they're out. That would already potentially be a disaster considering the situation. We have no idea where the remaining hostages are being held throughout the entirety of Gaza. So what he is saying, and I'm assuming that he knows that, is U.S. Special Forces in Gaza. Just send them in to Gaza. And then I was gonna, like, I thought, oh my God, that's crazy, sending the special. And then I realized, oh, I don't have time to pause on that because he's not interested in sending in special forces. He says, we have a lot of troops on these aircraft carriers. We just use our military. The aircraft carriers going to launch some planes. I guess we'll do some bombing. We're going to send in not just special forces, but the troops. We're going to invade Gaza, you know, while being deferential to the IDF and all that. But if they want our help, then we will invade Gaza. Because the experience of these many weeks of the horror of the situation there and the many civilian casualties is not enough for Tom Cotton. Now, it's not enough that we sell or provide arms that are used to slaughter thousands and thousands of children and other civilians. No, now we need to also be the ones dropping them. We need to be pulling the trigger that kills a civilian. That is the only thing that will slake the bloodlust of Senator Tom Cotton. And thankfully, he's not in charge. He's not making the decisions. The people who are in charge in America are making bad enough ones on their own. But JR, there is never a situation that some of them will not try to exploit to result in more civilian casualties.
Back to more of the same stuff. And also, actually, the number one thing there is just to bring up the Biden thing. You know, Biden doesn't really care about American citizens. Or actually, you know, Hamas doesn't respect him enough. That's another that goes back to the same thought process of saying, you know, if Trump was in office, nobody would do anything because everyone's petrified of Donald Trump. Or they liked to use him because he's very easy to be used. Again, yeah. I reference it every time when he was running for president, there was intelligence reports about the way that foreign leaders approach Donald Trump in this way anybody should. Butter him up, kiss his butt a little bit, make him think that you like him. He will give you gold. That's what people do. It's not that they're afraid of him. It's he's easily manipulated.
Yeah.
Just stroke his ego and he will hand you the keys to the castle. He's illustrated that in the way he talks about people that kiss his ass. And after they do that, then he says they're his best friend. He loves them and he's going to give them anything that they want. And they go, loser. By the way, Tom Cotton there and folks that like him say, we know exactly where they are. We have to send this. Actually, they don't say we have to send these folks in and they'll very intricately find the folks that we're looking for. They just say we know what's going on still so we can keep enough confidence and support for these types of exercises. But if he says something like, we're not really sure, we still need to figure it out, then we see the kind of bombing that we've been seeing for several weeks. We go, well, why are you guys just bombing if you don't know exactly what you're doing? It seems pretty indiscriminate and you could be killing anyone, including hostages, right? Yep. You can't say that either. So you kind of dance both sides of this whole line and try and say, we don't know, but we do know, but we do know if we did know. And if we did know, we'd be then do know. But since we know, everything's okay. So stop asking questions.
I hope
Don Rumsfeld.
Critical mass. No, it's 100%. I was instantly thinking of Donald Rumsfeld as well in the run up to the war in Iraq. But I hope that, you know, I know obviously Democrats, I would assume, are not going to be in favor of what Tom Cotton is saying. But like, there's more Republicans, right? Like, isn't Marjorie Greene against this sort of thing? She's against these wars, except for some that she's totally in favor of and she wants to invade Mexico. But other than that, isn't she against war? Everyone, well, perhaps we'll find out. I just love the idea of looking at what's been happening there, the horror of it, and thinking, how can we get in on that? But man, some people are monsters in human flesh. Anyway, speaking of monsters, let's talk about a terrible story much closer to home. Police in Burlington, Vermont have apparently arrested a suspect in the shooting of three students of Palestinian descent that we now know is being investigated as a possible hate crime. You have to say the word possible, even though really seems likely. I'm just going to say that. Here are the three victims of this possible hate crime. You're seeing they're identified by the families as Hisham Aratani, Kinan Abdulhamid, and Tahsin Ahmed. Shot and wounded this weekend by a white man with a handgun while they were walking near the University of Vermont. Two of the victims were wearing a Palestinian keffiyehs, a traditional headdress. Jason J. Eaton, a 48-year-old, is the suspect, expected to be arraigned at some point today. At this point, I don't know how much evidence they have that this is the person. And simply because they see someone, simply because they're going to arraign them, doesn't mean that that's definitely the person. So let's wait and find out. It's possible there will be developments as the day goes on. But here is what we do know about the actual crime. Apparently, they told family members they were speaking a hybrid of English and Arabic before the man shot at them four times without saying anything before the attack. Two of the victims were in stable condition. A third sustained much more serious injuries, apparently, in that particular case. The bullet nicked the victim's spine. So I had heard that there was a loss of sensation. I don't know if that's expected to be a permanent thing. But obviously, regardless, this is absolutely horrific. And I can't imagine the experience that those three individuals and their families are having. John Murad is the chief of the Burlington Police, and I'll end with a quote from him saying, "In this charged moment, no one can look at this incident and not suspect that it may have been a hate-motivated crime. The only other alternative is, well, we do live in an awful, chaotic world. I suppose in America, you could just randomly, without saying anything, shoot three people for all sorts of different reasons. We live in hell. But I think that the most likely reason is that they were heard speaking a mix of English and Arabic. They were wearing, an article of clothing that is associated with that region. And America being America, you can do the hateful math. JR, what do you think?
You mentioned, the confirmation of it or whether or not people think it's a hate crime or not. Usually, if we have discussions about what someone's motivation was, when it looks like it could be something, because you see a group of Palestinian guys or a black man or Asian folks, any of those type of things that we've seen. And then the discussion about hate crime or not is to see if we can prevent more things like this from happening. So if it is a hate crime, we want to be quick to say, look, this is what's happening. Look at how the energy of our society is changing, where people want to start going for doing things like this because they think it's acceptable from the way that many people speak, from our leadership to just our society in general. And we want to put like some clamps on it. Many times people, I think, overlook that and think that it's just someone trying to wag their finger at one particular group so we can demonize you. No, we want to stop these things from happening. It always comes from a preventative approach. So in this case, it's kind of harder, or I think a lot less effective to do that. I think it looks like it's a hate crime. But the thing is we've got so many people that are openly hateful lately. It's kind of not going to quell that from us understanding this problem. Yes, still prosecute the culprit to the fullest extent under any hate crime laws, not to change any of that or to not go as hardcore. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is to try and keep people from thinking a certain way or thinking it's more acceptable to do this type of stuff. Yo, we've been pushing that for weeks, months, years, decades. It's not like that's going to be a big change here. We need to start looking at the way we talk about these things and the way that our leadership goes about it and then presents it to us, because that's where a lot of the conflict is now being enhanced, because people see and understand certain things that's a lot different than what we're seeing and being told. So that's the big generator of a lot more of the hate here to me. But still, things like this, we might see more and more of. How do we stop that? I don't know if it's just through hate crime legislation. Maybe it could be more with
we
even talk about this stuff.
And even the legislation obviously is used as like a cultural, lightning rod. This story is being widely reported, which is good. The developments are being reported. Apparently, the individual, Jason Eaton, has virtually pleaded not guilty to three counts of attempted second degree murder. The most evidence I can see is that he was detained near the site. I'm guessing that they have strong evidence, but we'll see. I do wonder, there's been all this talk, obviously, about the rise in hate, both Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, following October 7th. One would think that in addition to the fatal stabbings and the other attacks that we've seen, this would be a significant part of that conversation. I am curious to see whether in certain areas of the internet and traditional media, there's an attempt to sort of just let this one slide by and not mention that, yeah, this is the country we live in. You see incidents like this, it's disgusting and becoming all too common. Okay, with that said, we do need to take our first break of the show. We're going to take a trip to DC when we get back and see, will George Santos be in the House for much longer? We'll be right back.
I was, as we joke around a lot in my circles, we're like, oh my God, you were the it girl. Everybody wanted you until nobody wanted me. Within the ranks of the United States Congress, there's felons galore. There's people with all sorts of shiesty backgrounds. And all of a sudden, George Santos is the Mary Magdalene of United States Congress.
Okay, so George Santos is determined to end this thing, this weird spectacle, with not an ounce of respectability, self-respect, decency, or anything. And why would he? That's not how he started it. That's not how he comported himself in the last 2 years. So he's going to go out by setting it all on fire, calling himself the It Girl, calling himself Mary Magdalene, and making, during all of this insanity, a couple of acceptable points that we will talk about. But the reason that we're talking about this is that you need to know that this could be the week where it ends. It is expected that there will be another vote to expel George Santos from office. This will be the third. He would be, I believe, the fifth or sixth ever to be expelled. And while the first two attempts failed, this one seems like it has a significantly higher chance. It's not a lock, but he is acting as if he believes he's about to be expelled. He had more to say, saying, I don't care. You want to expel me? I'll wear it like a badge of honor. I'll be the sixth. Oh, good. Sixth expelled member of Congress in the history of Congress. And guess what? I'll be the only one expelled without a conviction. Is that better? That it was so damning and you looked so bad that we didn't even need a conviction to expel you in this hypothetical? I don't think it's better. He says he will defend himself to the end of time. And he goaded House Ethics Committee Chair Michael Guest to stop being a P blankety blank Y and force a vote on his expulsion resolution. Because this is sort of like a, you can't fire me, I quit. but you might be fired, George Santos. And I want to get to a couple of the points that he made that were okay. But how do you overall make, what do you make of the style with which he's entering his possible last week?
As George Santos may, or Anthony DeVolder may, he's the it girl. You know, all the attention's around him. He still can't stop thinking about himself as far as in that mindset. There's a reason you're the it girl. There's a reason why everybody's talking about you, because you lied your way into Congress, and then you lied your way during Congress, and you apparently can lie your way out. And yes, we're going to get to some of those good points, but this is the only way he can go about it. There's the only way MAGA types of folks can go about things. When you're in trouble, there's something going on that, you know, people aren't looking at you too favorably about, then you have to talk about how you're the victim. And I can't believe they do this to me. All they did was look at all the illegal activities that I was involved in, and they're mad at me about it. What's the matter with them? Which then leads to his next point, John.
You want to talk about what he thinks about his colleagues?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we should talk about that. He sort of alluded to it in the video that you saw, yeah, that he's surrounded by felons. And look, we have talked about that throughout this, that like, why is it that it seems like he should be kicked out when the stuff that other people do seems substantively worse? I mean, he's just a liar. First of all, that's not true. That narrative has never been true. He is a liar. He's also a criminal, or at least an alleged criminal. So it is not just his misstatements about the Baruch volleyball team. He also is alleged to have committed a lot of crimes. So let's bear that in mind. But that said, you know, there are other people there that have seemingly committed worse crimes. But there's also, it's just so out there and so obvious. And he was so careless that I would love if anyone who's demonstrably a liar or a criminal gets kicked out of the government. Unfortunately, that's not the world that we live in. That doesn't happen. Maybe with him, it is so comical that we can get rid of him. So that's the approach that I take. So I get why he might be frustrated, but that's just the situation we have. Now, that said, he wants to, much like Madison Cawthorn, sort of reveal stuff on his way out. So George Santos, as he's, you know, possibly going to be expelled, says, I have colleagues who are more worried about getting drunk every night with the next lobbyist than they're going to screw and pretend like none of us know what's going on and sell off the American people, not show up to vote because they're too hungover, whatever the reason is, or not show up to vote at all and just give their card out like effing candy for someone else to vote for them. This dude is not mad at all. If you take anything away from this, he's not mad. And he's laughing, in fact, just out of frame. They all act like they're in ivory towers with white pointy hats and they're untouchable. What? What's with the white? When I hear white pointy hats, I think bad, not, oh, you know, no. Like an academic. White pointy hat. Is he thinking of wizards?
Is that like clergy? Like, you know, the Catholics? I don't know. Are those pointy hats? But
the ivory tower is supposed to be like elite academia. I think he's thinking of wizards. Anyway, within the ranks of United States Congress, there's felons galore. There's people with all sorts of shiesty backgrounds. I don't even like that. But anyway, he's talking about them. They're all drunks. They're all out sleeping with lobbyists. Like, this does feel to me like the Madison Cawthorn thing where he was exposed to some of this and now he's sort of setting fire to them on his way out. I don't know. The issue is that he's such a liar, JR. How do we know which of this we can really trust?
Looks like going nuclear only happens once they see themselves going out. You made a good comparison to Madison Cawthorn. Who, once he started going nuclear, whether accidental or by leaked video, it was the thing that broke the camel's back, put it that way. It's what finally made enough Republicans go, okay, we can't with this guy anymore. Which then, you know, makes your ears perk up and go, well, this is the thing that finally makes you guys go upset? There's things that have been publicly stated, directly asked to folks, where only folks like Mitt Romney came out from the beginning saying, kick him out of here. So, for everyone else that doesn't seem to be on that train, including the leadership at the time, Kevin McCarthy even, over and over again, current leadership now doing a Kevin McCarthy as well, they cared about his vote all the way up until he starts, I'm not going to say it like it only just right now because there was other New York Republicans that came out ahead of him. But once they know that enough people have turned on them, that's when they go to these types of attacks. Maybe it's just the most salacious, so it's easy to throw that out there. Or maybe there's always some percentage of truth to it. Because again, there's a reason why Congress doesn't really do all that much and many people hate them in general. Just outside of the propaganda from party to party type of fights. But people don't really see what Congress is up to much than anything else. So there probably is some truth to a lot of irresponsibility around their voting or showing up on time or being in particular places when they need to be. I don't know, but I'm willing to believe it.
Yeah, that's obvious. The fact that they, you know, they have clung to him up until this point and then they might want to show that they're awesome by kicking him out makes them look bad. But also for George Santos, wait, so you've been seeing all of this stuff for like a year or two now, and now you're only telling us? Yeah. Like, it seems like you don't really care about them being unqualified for their jobs and screwing people over and getting drunk on. Like, it seems like you're only using that now that you're about to be kicked out of the club. That's weird. That maybe makes all the rest of them look bad, but it doesn't make you look good at that point. Yeah. Neither do your cover stories. He like sort of concludes this long rambling interview that he does by saying that his decision not to seek re-election was not because of external pressure. It's because of his frustration with the arrogance of his colleagues. No, it wasn't. If you didn't think that you were going to be arrested or expelled, you'd be running again. Look, I am wondering where he goes from here. Like, you would think once he loses a little bit of political power that he has, combined with the fact that he has no credibility, that should be it. But it's America, man. You can screw people over time and time again and still be rich and famous. So God only knows what's coming after this. I'm guessing podcast. I don't know.
He's going to have to be like independent on that because
probably.
Don't forget, they only not care that he's gay because he's in Congress. Once he's out,
that's true.
They don't care. They will actively dislike him.
Not too many days ago, a middle-aged couple tragically, fatally crashed their car at the U.S.-Canada border. And here's what happened. This was last Wednesday. Shortly before noon, a Bentley drove into the Rainbow Bridge border crossing in Niagara Falls, New York at high speed. Lost control, was launched into the air and exploded when it made contact with some of the infrastructure there at the bridge and the border. The two were declared dead and flames were raging from the car. A person working at the crossing was injured, but suffered non-life-threatening injuries, which is a miracle in its own right. So that is a crazy, tragic story. But for some, it's not enough of a story. We need something to add a little bit of spice and get a little bit more mileage out of the tragic death and two people and an injury of another. And so the conspiracy theorizing spools up and suddenly it's terrorism. And I want to be very clear that if you saw this news and thought it could be terrorism, I think that that is perfectly reasonable. It's at the border. There's flames. Maybe there was an explosion. You can think that it might have been terrorism. But when you are stating definitively from a position of authority, either your elected office or your position in, you know, establishment or independent media, that it was terrorism and then try to get mileage out of it, that's not newsmaking. That's grifting. That's all that is. It's conspiracy theory grifting. And I want to run you through a little bit of it. Now, it started off with, like, you know, Fox News is running two dead after attempted terror attack at New York Canada border. Again, they're supposed to be a news source. You can say suspected terror attack. You can say questionable incident. They're simply saying it's a terror attack. And it wasn't just in their chyrons. It was all over Fox News. Take a look at this.
We don't know how long the people who perpetrated this attack have been in this country. Did they recently come across? Did they come into the country legally? Did they come across illegally and claim asylum? Were they some of the nearly 1 million gotaways who've come into this country?
And what happened at the border today sent chills through most Americans. It was scary. People didn't know if it was a terrorist attack. We didn't know exactly what was happening or what the motive was. It made us ask ourselves, could it have been related to the open border policies of the administration? Was it simply an accident? We don't know, but it caused us all to think.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul holding a news conference and saying there was no indication of a terror attack in the car explosion at the U.S.-Canada border. We are going to monitor that. And coming up, liberal leaders think they know what's best when it comes to fighting so-called misinformation.
Yeah, so again, so-called misinformation. We don't know anything about actual misinformation, just so-called. You know, it really makes you think. No, it doesn't. It makes you do the exact opposite of thing. I mean, I guess you're thinking about how you can get something out of the tragic death of two individuals, but all of them. It wasn't just this could be terrorism. It was terrorism. It's because of the border. It's because of Biden. It's because of the million gotaways. And they just start thinking, what can I get from this? And it's not just the media. Ted Cruz posted this. This confirms our worst fear. The explosion at Rainbow Bridge was a terrorist attack. Both attackers are dead and one law enforcement officer is injured. I am praying that blah, 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 blah. This confirms our worst fear. By the way, do you see what confirms the worst fear? A post by Benny Johnson. What the hell is that supposed to be worth? That is a senator, a United States senator saying a right-wing grifter posting his Islamophobic fantasizing is proof that this is a terror attack. Now, he eventually deleted that message. We can have a conversation about which is worse. The people who deleted it after posting it, those who just left it up and pretend that it's still, like Charlie Kirk says, here's the very moment the terrorist vehicle exploded. I think on his show, he eventually admitted that it was not terrorism, but a lot of them are just, they're leaving those posts up, including one of the most important people on Twitter, which would obviously be Cat Turd, who said nothing to see here. It was just two rich adults in a nice car driving 100 and purposefully ramping to their suicidal deaths because they were mad at a Kiss concert being canceled. Farting sound. It definitely wasn't terrorism, though. No, it was just that thing that you said. I mean, you added up like purposefully ramping up or whatever. It was two people who tragically died in a car accident. By the way, Katzer, did you know that like many tens of thousands of people die in fatal car accidents in the United States every single year? It's a tragedy. It's not a terrorist tragedy. So anyway, this shouldn't be surprising to us. Everything is a conspiracy theory. It's not conspiracy theories anymore. It's conspiracism. It is a worldview where everything has to be whatever I want it to be. And you see that filtered through people who are incredibly powerful, incredibly wealthy, and they're all over the place. I apologize, JR. What do you think? You've muted yourself. I didn't mute him. Don't have a conspiracy theory.
You are lying to me.
Am I?
I was unmuted the entire time. So I was doing when I dropped my huge metal can of water like last time. So there's all kinds of thoughts people have when things like this first happen. The first thought I had was, oh, I wonder if someone had some kind of medical emergency in that car and end up slamming on the gas and smashing through, because that's something I think about. It's just the way my brain works. Doesn't mean it's right, but usually when I think that, I'll go, man, I wonder if that happened. And then you go, let me find out if I'm right. Instead of then going, you know what, breaking news, I wondered something, therefore it's now fact. That's only the case if your motivation for thinking a certain way is to push something else afterwards. So, of course, to push something afterwards is, now how about this Biden agenda in the border? I thought you guys were always complaining about the southern border. So now, this is the Canadian border, am I right? Am I losing my mind?
This is Canadian border, yeah.
Well, then Canadian border is now where we can say, look, I've been telling Joe Biden to do something about that border. I told Donald Trump was going to build a wall. So, yo, it's not connecting to all of your normal hateful things that you say to have a political argument about things, to jump straight to these types of conclusions. And yes, we always hear about how conservatives never want to talk about the culprits behind any kinds of attacks, domestic terror attacks, from school shootings to club shootings to the middle of the streets shootings. It doesn't matter, to grocery store shootings. They never have any answers, even when we have answers about the culprits, ever. But when we have nothing here, it's already straight to the first fears. You can have those wonders. You can wonder if it's a terror attack. It makes sense to think so, but you don't have to go to that next step and then have, that really stuck out to me too, John. A senator of the United States of America followed some guy who does a podcast. And I would say the same thing. If you tweeted out something, John, and then a senator says, confirmed, John Adarola said so, I'd go, man, this guy needs to calm down. John,
I know. Just tweaking. Yeah, 100%. Like, if I, like, we were talking about, you know, the speculation that it was a hate crime in the shooting of the three students of Palestinian descent. If I just tweeted, it was a Patriot Front hate crime. They planned it, boom. And then Bernie Sanders is like, this proof, like, What are you talking about? But it's totally acceptable on their side. Like, Ted Cruz just deleted the tweet. He doesn't care. I guess that's better than leaving it up. Not as good as taking stock of what you did and how you tried to manipulate people into advancing your own political agenda. But we have higher ethical standards than the entirety of right-wing media and their elected officials. 100%. Like, that's, it's just indisputable at this point. And then they will tell us constantly. Fox News is talking about this today on an unrelated story having to do with Joe Biden. This is why people don't trust the media. You guys just spent an entire news cycle lying about a story and you're going to take no responsibility whatsoever for it. Maybe that's one of the reasons people don't trust the media. The issue is that while I can point that out, the hypocrisy doesn't matter because they don't want people to trust the media. They're media and they don't want people to trust the media. It's the asymmetric battlefield that this political battle is being waged on, that we're trying to buttress support in a thing that we're criticizing, and they're trying to lower support for what they are, and they'll make money either way.
It just, anyway. One thing it illustrates is that if you believe your stance has to be built in some kind of fear or hate, you have to build up the fear and the hate for your stance to still have any kind of standing. So any opportunity you can, you got to keep building that foundation for your actual conclusion, yeah, which is always the hate and the fear.
And by the way, if it turns out, JR, that, oh wait, no, actually we now find out that it was a terror attack, they leased a Bentley and then they did this as a terror attack, you know what we would do? We would tell you that, because we're just giving you the best information we have access to. Why does it have to be wrapped up into like the core of who you are as a person? And I do know why it has to for them, because they're, again, trying to get something political out of it, whereas I'm just trying to educate people about the actual thing that happened.
Ceasefire means that somebody sees a fire. It could be any kind of fire. It could be a big fire or a small fire, a bonfire or even a candle flame. It just matters that somebody sees a fire. That's why we call it a ceasefire.
I really, really hope that every one of you who just watched that gets that that is not the actual video of AOC talking about ceasefires or candles or whatever. That's a deep fake. It was manipulated video that put words into her mouth that she didn't actually say. I hope that everybody gets that. But apparently they did not, because Reuters had to do an actual fact check. You could see right here, the video of Ocasio-Cortez explaining ceasefires is digitally altered. Now, Look, them choosing to do a fact check doesn't prove that people didn't get it. But people's responses to it sure seem to indicate that they didn't understand that that was manipulated. That clip was shared on Facebook and Instagram. And there were comments like, stupid is stupid does. And this is who is in charge of the country. No wonder we're in such bad shape. Yeah. And I've honestly seen more educated people at the community level. Also, is she actually graduated from the second grade? How did you not get that that's fake? Like, I love the idea of aggressively, confidently accusing another person of being stupid while you don't get that you're being manipulated by something that obviously isn't true. And I want to show you a few other examples too that I curated from where it was posted on Twitter. This person says, AOC, stop speaking about things you know nothing about. As long as there are hostages in Gaza, there will be no peace. There will be no ceasefire. This is one of the most basic things about military engagement that you clearly have yet to understand. And then another person who says, gotta be a deep fake. Yeah, but you're saying that as if you're not 100% sure. How were you not 100% sure that that's fake? Now look, there's lots of this stuff going around. AOC has been a target of it by a lot of times. But JR, this is a demonstration of how dangerous this stuff is that we always talk about how the technology is going to get better. It doesn't need to. It doesn't need to be plausible because people are so desperate to believe things about those they despise that they utterly suspend their disbelief. What do you make of it?
It's what they've got figured out. It's one of the other things. Maybe because we look at video all day and I have to look at it closely and analyze and edit. It took 3 words before I knew that that was off. Nowhere near the way her mouth could move to say the words that you were hearing. It just didn't. If nothing else, the first thing you think is, oh, the audio is off. They need to fix it. And then you go, wait, no, actually, this is not. This just ain't it. I guess I was, my first thought was going to be, good thing these things haven't gotten as good as they're going to get, which then we're in serious trouble at that point. But good things this thing haven't gotten what we got yet, because there's no way people are going to believe this on a wide scale. The way that people on the internet love to jump straight to something so fake, 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 even something that sometimes is real, oh, this is totally fake. Now the stuff that's obviously fake, enough people are buying still. Mm-hmm. I guess when it comes to politicians, when it comes to, normally boring things that the general community doesn't talk about, like wars and murdering people on mass scale, ceasefires so that maybe folks don't have to continue to go through devastation like this for at least 4 days, then those type of things are too boring for enough people to care enough about, to pay enough close attention to then say widely, yo, you know that they're doing deep fakes of politicians just saying normal, would be normal things. Instead, they manipulate it so they can change the anger and discussions around these things. I don't know. I've been concerned about how this is going to take over our normal brains, our normal thought processes for a decade. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you talking about people being zapped way back in the day, and now it's happening.
Who clowned me for that, John? Who clowned me for that?
Probably Cenk, but also me at home. That was before I worked there. But anyway, but it's so bad. Yonek in the Twitch chat said that's a shallow fake. But again, it doesn't have to be that deep. Also, what is the purpose of that viral video? You don't need to respect people who are calling for a ceasefire because they're stupid. They don't actually know what they're talking about. It's a dumb thing that dumb people say. Flame on, just burn the entire Gaza down because only stupid people want a ceasefire. That's the policy part of this. The bigger issue, and I've pointed this out multiple times, is that they are desperate to believe that AOC is dumb. They just want to believe that she's stupid. They don't care that she's got degrees in international relations and economics. And you can say that you can get those degrees without being that smart. The issue is that you can't do all the public speaking without an understanding of the policy that she does. Extemporaneous, in-depth talk about a lot of different topics. And I am sorry to you right-wingers watching this, that that hurts you when she demonstrates that she's not a moron. It doesn't mean you have to agree with her. It doesn't mean that she's right all the time. I don't agree with her all the time, but she isn't a dumb donkey. I'm sorry. And when you say that you believe that she is, and then you still have to fake it, you have to make fake versions of her being dumb, you prove that you don't actually think that. You have no faith in her being an idiot, because then you do what people do with people on your side of the aisle. People don't need to make fake videos of Marjorie Greene and Lauren Boebert and Louie Gohmert. You know what videos they play? actual videos and they sound authentically stupid because they are. You guys have to fake it with AOC. And every time you do that, you betray that you know that she's smart and it just burns inside of you. And I love it. So I don't like that these are being spread because I know that they convince a lot of people, but it's a reminder of how fake their supposed disdain for her actually is.
Nice, John. I agree. Number two, the last thing this guy said, and this is when one of the people was angry about it. This is in charge of our country. They're targeting people who don't think either, because there's no way this one congresswoman is in charge of this country.
But yeah, they're not even in charge of the House, you dumb dumb. Anyway, let's jump to our last story. We have less than 2 months now before the Iowa caucuses. The Republican race is in the final legs before we know. Is Donald Trump going to do like a knockout punch there? Is it going to be a little bit more muddled? And Republican donors, like the tastemakers on the right, are trying to figure out who is the person who's going to challenge him. And suddenly, it's looking like Nikki Haley's time to shine, according to those people. I don't necessarily get it, but they're convinced. People like Jamie Dimon, apparently very impressed with her policy knowledge. Sure, compared to Ron DeSantis, I'm sure she knows a lot. But anyway, Kenneth Langone, billionaire co-founder of Home Depot, told The Times that he remains undecided, but was, quote, very impressed by Haley. I think she's a viable candidate. I would certainly like her over Trump. He's also donated to her. Now, a lot of people thought that DeSantis would be the guy because they had apparently never seen him or listened to him speak. But anyway, he's apparently not impressing people at this point. Nikki Haley has sort of taken that position, with some saying there's a, quote, electric energy surrounding her campaign. Okay, let's see if we can see some evidence of the electricity, some crackling. Well, here's what we have. If we jump ahead to graphic four, you're going to see the polling, which the takeaway of this polling is that Donald Trump is increasingly locking this thing up. But what you can also see, if you zoom in super tight, and I hope that you've got a large phone, is that Nikki Haley is getting closer to for second place. Now, it's a second place that will be a bare footnote in history for this race, but she is getting closer. And if you look at Iowa polling, again, drawing close in that caucus, she could maybe get second place. And in New Hampshire, she's actually up in New Hampshire. What? Ron DeSantis is in fourth. So I don't know, Jared, maybe there is an electric energy. Maybe it's her time to rise up and then be struck down by Donald Trump, who is not going to be beat by any of these chuckleheads.
I've been saying this for a while, bro. I've been saying it for a while. If Republicans, as you know, as many thoughts and opposing viewpoints as they've got, I think their best bet is Nikki Haley. Enough of them need to realize it and think about it. Yes, she said some outwardly crazy things. We know that. All of them have. But I'm just trying to think in the realm of what they'd want to do as far as folks who want to move past Donald Trump. Because I think a lot of them think they're stuck with him, obviously from the numbers of him trouncing everyone. But if there has to be some kind of concerted effort to try and change the narrative around who it is they can support, because they tried with Ron DeSantis, and boy, did that flub. And just kind of that even from the intro over on X, it's a flub from the beginning. So this is, I think, their best bet. She sounds the smartest. She has some experience with foreign policy, even though, again, her opinions and plans for these things don't appear to be the most helpful. But she at least knows what she's talking about to fool enough people to make them think that she can do this job better than Joe Biden. They got to try and ride this out, but they just don't have enough firepower to go her way for this type of stuff, man. But man, how disappointing is Ron DeSantis if this is what's happening now with them?
Yeah, he gets like totally upstaged by her. She clearly has a better understanding of policy than Ron DeSantis. She wears a heel way better than Ron DeSantis. Like, she's just a better overall candidate. Now, bear in mind, she could have been a more standout candidate compared to the others if multiple years ago she hadn't like sold out the supposed respectability of her as a politician to supporting Donald Trump and all that, which she did. Like, she's not the person she would have you believe that she is, but still, compared to a lot of these insane people, comparatively better on some topics. Also an old school neocon when it comes to foreign policy. So
every one of them sold out to Donald Trump too. Chris Christie, his tough talk. I love what Chris Christie says about Trump. Chris Christie was Donald Trump's debate partner in prep in his first run. Yeah. Let's keep it real. Kissed his ass, told him to get on that plane. Get on the plane, Chris. Get out of here, Chris. Have an Oreo, Chris. Actually, stop eating Oreos, Chris. Don't forget, he sold out to him too before he finally figured out he had a different lane to go by. By the way, one last thing, John, we were talking about the money people, the Diamonds and all these people, the CEOs of Home Depot. Once the money people start talking about who they like, that's what generates any kind of buzz and push, because they're like, oh, they're going to pay us. Whoever has the money controls this party and controls all parties. Let's keep it real. In politics, it's how they operate. So once they're talking, we see what they would like. Let's see if they get what they like.
Okay, we'll see. Look, if she does get into second place, I can only imagine the insane stuff Donald Trump is going to say about her. I mean, for fairly obvious reasons, I think. But anyway, stay tuned for that. That is unfortunately all the time and more that we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you everyone who's been watching. More to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.